Scripture reading today is Luke 21, 25 to 36. Okay, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the earth, and on the earth. Distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, the power of the great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, the generation will not pass until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that days does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come soon, come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all the things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Every day he was teaching in the temple, and at night he would go out and spend the night on the Mount of Olives, as it was called. And all the people would get up early in the morning to listen to him in the temple. Praise God, the reading of the scripture.
Please pray with me. God of our salvation, there is wisdom, peace, and joy for those who keep your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in your truth and teach us to do your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy New Year. It seems a little early to say that, but Advent, like I told you last week, is the beginning of a new church year. So if you're anything like me, you're running around trying to make sure that you're prepared for the upcoming holiday gatherings. I really do try to either buy or make my Christmas gifts throughout the year, but somehow every single December I still find myself scrambling around, making sure I have the perfect gifts for my family and friends. And then you add in my school obligations, because there's only 3 weeks left, and making sure that I'm prepared to serve all of you, things that I absolutely love, by the way, they take up a lot of time. And all of that running around can sometimes take away from the purpose of Advent. You see, Advent is supposed to be a time of waiting, this hopeful anticipation. Advent means coming or arrival. What are we waiting for? Come on, you know. What are we waiting for? It's Santa's birthday, yes. We're waiting for little baby Jesus, of course. It is Christmas. Which makes it kind of weird to start out Advent with a scripture that talks about the end times. I'm a little worried that you might think that I'm obsessed with the end times. And I'm not obsessed, but I do have a particular interest in them. Like, wouldn't this scripture be more appropriate for, like, Lent or Easter? Like, this passage actually takes place after Jesus predicts the demolition of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. And right after this is where the plot to kill Jesus unfolds. It's pretty ominous, even a little scary, if you ask me. He says, people will faint from fear and foreboding. Recognize the distress among the nations. Yikes. But wait a minute. What Jesus is talking about here is his second coming. This is talking about the coming of the Messiah, just not that sweet 8-pound, 6-ounce bouncing baby boy Jesus that we were expecting. Now, contrary to what some of our other Christian friends have to say about it, the second coming of Jesus doesn't have to be frightening. Jesus shows us this by giving us a little bit of hope here. He says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We look forward to and hope for this redemption, because that's liberation from this fallen world and all of its corruption. Most of us here don't live in those, far margins of society. And we definitely don't live in Luke's first century. Most of us here, we're pretty fortunate that we aren't really experiencing plagues like famine, drought, war, like some other parts of the world are. However, it's much more likely that you or maybe someone that you know struggles with things like addiction or greed, mental illness, misplaced priorities. No matter who you are, our broken and hurting selves and the world need Christ to come. I know I keep telling you that Jesus is here, and Jesus is here already, but not yet. That's something that I still struggle with. So when Jesus tells us to stand up and raise our heads, he's saying that when we trust in God and live faithfully, we don't need to fear when the world collapses. Instead, we should stand confidently because the Son of Man, Jesus, the truly righteous one, is going to bring about God's kingdom. The question is, when will this happen? And Jesus says there will be recognizable signs, just like there are signs of coming seasons. Some of you may know that one of the things I studied in secular graduate school was apocalyptic cults. And I can tell you, there is no shortage of folks who have made predictions about the end of the world. And they almost always present it as a terrifically horrible scene. People have been combing through the Bible, creating timelines, using ancient numerology practices to calculate when Jesus will come again. And they've been doing this for almost 2,000 years. I don't mean to spoil the fun for any of you, but none of them have been correct. So as wars and natural disasters pile up, it might behoove us all to live in expectation of Christ's return. But we should also live humbly as we recognize Christ's return will be like a thief in the night. After all, Jesus says that these signs indicate that the end is near, not that God's kingdom has arrived. Even though this presentation of apocalypse is more forceful and frightening than it is in other gospels, Luke does end with more encouragement. This isn't about fear and damnation, but hope and expectation. In the end, the word of God stays firm. Even though judgment seems inevitable, redemption is drawing near. This isn't a time for despair or withdrawal or paralysis. This is something to look forward to with hope. So the Advent we celebrate today involves preparing for two comings. We're awaiting Christmas, when God comes to earth as the infant Jesus, and we're also awaiting Christ's return to earth at a time that we don't know. It's not a matter of if, but a matter of when, and Jesus wants us to be ready. We do that by keeping alert, constantly preparing, and most importantly, continuing to put our hope in our loving God who comes to us in Jesus Christ. God is coming in Christ because God loves us and wants to redeem us. How appropriate is it that the first candle we light on the Advent wreath is called the candle of hope? We're beginning a new church year. We've got a fresh start in our hearts. We're yearning for a promise worth living for. I do want to be clear, though, that hope isn't just like this cheerful optimism. It doesn't mean that we ignore the difficult realities of our lives. To be honest, I don't even think I believe that hope is something that we can do on our own. It's usually something that takes us by surprise after everything else fails. I'm reminded by the poem by Emily Dickinson, "Hope is the thing with feathers." Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. The good news of Advent is not simply that Christ is coming, but that his coming means we can hope. Despite all that is falling apart in our lives, our community, and the world around us, just as the leaves of the fig tree offer hope in late winter that summer is coming again, so God's word in Jesus promises us new life. Advent offers us expectation and hope for something new. May those who come to Advent worship leave with a commitment to use this season of Advent to prepare for God's kingdom breaking forth as we await the radical, earth-shattering welcome of the Prince of Peace, the little baby, and the risen Lord. So in celebration of the first week of Advent, I'd like you to help me light the Advent wreath on the bulletin board. You'll find back there some yellow post-it notes and some orange and red pens. I'd like you to write what gives you hope or what you're hopeful for on those little post-its. And then we'll stick them to the wick of the candle. And in the coming weeks, I'll also ask you to write what makes you feel loved or how you share love, what brings you joy, and how you experience peace. So after worship today, I will be over by the board and I will help you so you know where to put things and everything else. All right. So that's it. Thanks be to God. Amen.